So this is Nancy Gallagher in Philadelphia interviewing Susan Davis. I'm with the Oral History Project of the Association for Middle East Women's Studies, and it's December 15th, 2018. Susan, can you identify yourself?
Yep, I'm Susan Schaefer Davis, here being interviewed. You want more details?
Yes.
Oh. I'm an anthropologist who works mainly in Morocco. What do I call myself?
Independent scholar.
Independent scholar and consultant. So I've taught some, but mostly I've worked as a consultant and done my scholarship, mostly in Morocco, but I've also worked in Palestine, Egypt, Tunisia, and a tiny bit in Algeria and Iraq. I just visited with the Quakers.
And can you describe your recent research? You just came out with a book.
Yeah, recently, my interest has always been women in Morocco, since I went there in the Peace Corps over 50 years ago and worked in a rural women's center, and they didn't fit my stereotype of poor, downtrodden Middle Eastern women, where I got a stereotype I have no idea, since I was from the University of Minnesota and had one anthro class, but it shows me how widespread that stereotype must have been even way back when. And I got to Morocco in this women's center, and they told jokes, they told them sometimes dirty jokes, they had hair-pulling fights, they were really lively, they were not what I expected. So I changed from a psych undergrad to an anthropology grad student in order to go back and do research on why they were like they were. And that turned out to be my dissertation, and it became a book, Patience in Power. So I've always worked with women. With my husband, I did a book on adolescence in a Moroccan town, and I worked with the women, young women. He worked with men. And then I've just recently finished a book on women artisans in Morocco that talks about both the artisans and their work. It has gorgeous pictures, and I'm really concerned that people are going to think it's a coffee table book because it's big also. But paperback, so reasonably priced. And it's like profiles of 25 women who talk about their lives and their work, and I think it has some really good ethnography.
Sounds fantastic.
And if you look at the back, Laila Ebolugud thought so too.
There we go.
Yep. It was very, very nice of her. So, So that's what I've been doing lately.
Wonderful. So can you tell us how you first came about, how you came to join AMUS, if you think back in the early years?
And I don't remember exactly, except when I did my dissertation, when I was writing it, it was the early 70s. Before I went, I was told not to apply for money to study women from Fulbright because I'd never get any money to study women. So I was going to work on patron-client relations or something else. But I got there and I couldn't not do women. I told my advisor I was going to do women. I came back. I did women, came back, and Fulbright tried to take my money away, because I didn't do what I said I was going to do, even though I was told it was okay by my advisor. So AMUS was wonderful to find a group of women who supported you. When I started to write my dissertation, the best thing I could find about women was a University of Microfilms book on Hindu women in India. That was the closest I could get to any information on Muslim women. Maybe they were Muslim, not Hindus. But like, there was nothing. So when there's a group of women studying women in the Middle East, I was thrilled. And I don't remember exactly how I found them, but it was wonderful to have that community when I had been so isolated before.
Mm-hmm. So you did your dissertation?
Yep, I got my dissertation done. I did the field work in the early 70s, and I got my PhD in 78, so it took a while. Mm-hmm. But I did it, and I was teaching at the same time. I taught for about 10 years, mostly at Trenton State College, and I did a few bits other places, including the most recently in Morocco at their English language university, which was fun.
Mm-hmm. And how did you begin publishing the review?
I don't remember, but look what I brought with me. I have originals.
Wow.
Of the first one. Being a pack rat, so there we are.
Maybe volume you could tell us the title and
AMUS News, Volume 1, Number 1, February 1986. AMUS founded in New Orleans.
Maybe you could read that a little bit for us.
Okay. The Association for Middle East Women's Studies was founded at the Middle East Studies Association meetings held in New Orleans in November 1985. And I think I remember those meetings because I went and had oysters with somebody. AMUS is the result of a several-year effort by numerous scholars to bring women's studies issues more to the forefront of Middle East studies. During the 1983 MESA meetings in Chicago, several scholars, including Nancy Gallagher, Nikki Keddie, Fedwell Gwindi, and current Mesa president, Elizabeth Furnia, walked out of the entertainment organized by the program committee, belly dancing, and caucused on how to bring a constructive approach to issues of sex and gender into the Mesa meetings. Their proposal to suggest to the Mesa Program Committee a plenary session on women's studies for the 1984 meetings was picked up by Program Committee co-chairs Sue Ad Joseph. Not only was the first plenary session on the study of women in the Middle East organized, but also, with the cooperation of dozens of scholars, 9 other panels on women were organized. A total of 40 papers on women were presented at the 1984 Mesa meetings, another first for Mesa. Wow. And that may be when I did my first paper, that later became an article. Maybe it was on women's economic roles. And I was talking at the end, and B.J. Furnia was chair. Mm-hmm. And at the end, some young man from Tunisia stood up and said, "What did you tell us? Everybody knows that stuff." And I was like crushed. I was just, you know, a grad student. But BJ defended me, and that was really good. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So that's also part of the community of women being formed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Supporting each other and
right.
And synergistically moving scholarship
forward. And to find, yeah, exactly, to find people who are working on similar areas and what questions we explore. I have to say, and I can't remember what meeting it was at, but it was much later, like maybe 25 years later, I remember, and you maybe know the year, Sandra, I think, and maybe you and Sandra, put together a meeting about where have we been and where have we gotten to. Mm-hmm. And what I came away from that was, we've done a lot of wonderful research and we're still talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And that was really sad, but it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. So it was great to have these women and they're doing stuff, and we have to more figure out how to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. So who began publishing the AMUSE News, the first issue?
It says in the back, there are editors and regional reps. So the editors were Margot Bedran, Susan Schaefer Davis, Margaret Mills, she and I had oysters, Val Mogadem, Lucy Wood Saunders, and Annabelle Serberni Mohammadi mm-hmm. were the editors. Do you want to know the regional reps?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, tell us who they are. Sure.
Okay, Northwest, Diane Teherani, Philadelphia, Susan Schaefer Davis, Southwest, Elizabeth Furnia, Washington, D.C., Judith Tucker, Chicago and Midwest, Mina Chinar, New York, Val Mohadem, South, Miriam Cook, California, Sued Joseph, Boston, Leila Ahmed. And, you know, I've known all those people professionally in their work. It was a wonderful way to get to know people. And now when I go to the meetings, I think, you know, we're the old guard. I've got to meet the young guard. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate the work that this group has done.
So you were involved with the very first issue.
Yep, yep.
And what did the journal itself, or what would you call it, newsletter itself, mean to you, publishing it? Working on it?
Just that it was really nice to have something that was getting our views out. I think even more, though, to me, it was the community, mm-hmm. the knowing these people and talking to them and just being in touch with them.
And how long did you edit it for?
I don't remember.
You started in,
That's 86, and this is 86. I don't know. And this doesn't actually say, editors. Okay, I'm still on there. Still 86. Still on 86. 87, and I have no others for 87.
You must have become the editor by then.
Oh, maybe. Here's edited by Susan Schaefer Davis.
Uh-huh. There you were.
Yeah, I remember. That was February 1987.
Keep going. This is fascinating.
Now we're up to February 88.
Still on.
AMUSE Officers and Editor, President, Julie Petit, ex officio, editor, AMUSE Newsletter, Mervette Hatem.
Okay.
So that was a year. I was probably editor for a year.
Mm-hmm. And then, they continued after that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these news mm-hmm. things, yeah,
yes.
They continued until, then they became a newsletter, which I've got copies of. News up to September 89.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And then.
And who was the editor at that time?
February. And editorial board of the AMUSE newsletter. Sally Ethelston, Afaf Mahfouz, Julie Petit, and Judith Zucker.
Okay.
Were the editorial board. And then we go to the fancy looking one that isn't just typed. This is actually looks better than the typed one, too. But called the newsletter, May 1992. So I'm from 89 to 92. I'm not sure exactly when that transition
Look
happened.
Look at the technology change. We went from, what was this, mimeograph?
Yeah, it looks like,
typewritten.
Yep. Yep.
And now it's been done on a computer.
Is that run on a computer?
It looks like it.
Yeah, it looks like it's better type anyway. And that's...
By 89.
Even 88, right? Does that look like...
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I'm not sure. But anyway. Yeah, 88 or 89.
But certainly by this one...
Yeah, 92.
We're in the computer, squarely within the computer age with boxes and...
Yep.
layout, a more professional layout and a logo of sorts.
Yep. And I don't know if you want to see who's was editing it then. Do we have that? Congratulations to me to be president, 1992 to 1994. Oh, that's nice.
News. Yep. You were president then. Can you talk about that?
Not much. I'm the kind of person who's very shy to have leading roles. I mean, I didn't feel that I couldn't do it because of that, but I was sort of surprised that I did it, because I usually like to be the secretary, someone nobody sees.
Behind the scenes.
But it was fine. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. You've been part of it, I would say, from before the beginning to the early years to the mid part, and let's keep going with that. The key names on that one, that issue. We're up now to...
91?
This is 92.
Oh, this is 92, so maybe the... Yeah, this is 1990. Oh, okay. So it got to be computerish by 1990.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Board of Editors in 1990. Eleanor D'Amato was newsletter editor.
Mm-hmm.
And other people were Leila Ahmed, Mariam Cook, Elizabeth Furnia, Sued Joseph, Anne's McCann Baker.
Okay, so, and let's go on down to the... Do you have the run all the way through?
I don't think so. Let's see what I've got. This is another 1990. This is sort of just getting into the thing. So we go up to 1994. And that's just forms, 1993. So 94 may be the most recent, which isn't all that recent. Maybe it's after that on the computer or something.
Eventually we're going to try to get all of these online, and we're going to establish the progression from the very first newsletter, mm-hmm. all the way to the various iterations over the years, and then to the journal.
Great, yeah. Great. Yeah, here I am reviewing Lila's book, Writing Women's Worlds.
Wonderful.
And who's... So the most recent one I've got is May 94. Amy's... But I don't see... Wait a minute. Okay, Eleanor D'Amato, newsletter editor. So she's still newsletter editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll have to...
So if you need, I can send you pictures of these or something. I don't know.
Well, I think we can get them through library services, but good to know that you have such a good run.
Yeah, I've got...
You're one of the few,
of
I think,
early
that,
ones.
That does. Okay, anything else you want to say about Amuse and what it's meant to you over the years?
Well, I love going to the meetings. I love that they're supporting women scholars, so you have a slot, you know, to get people into the MESA meeting,
mm-hmm.
and send out lists of what the women's panels, quote unquote, women's panels are.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to go to the meetings and see everybody. I loved how you honored BJ and other people who've served a lot. Mm-hmm. I was really sorry to miss the one for Sued. Was that this year or last year?
That was in Boston, I think, 2 years ago.
Oh, I should have come to that. I wonder if I was someplace that I couldn't... I bet I was traveling or something, because I would have loved to come, because I think Sued has done so much.
Can't be in two places at once.
Yep,
yes,
yep.
She has.
Yeah, and I've got sort of this applied side, this sort of,
mm-hmm.
besides the scholar side, so I've sold rugs for Moroccan women or lead tours.
Once we're done with all of this, we're going to try to consolidate a history, and then we'll have an event at Amuse, and we expect you to attend that conference. We'll try to make sure it's one of the ones in D.C., Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.